says she'll call. She'll call you, see what she wants.
Thank you.
Ready, Mr. Door?
Yeah, thanks, sir.
Everyone ready?
Good morning, everyone. It is today is Tuesday, March 11, 2025. Want to welcome all of you here and those online to this Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners regular board meeting. And it is now 9 a.m., March 11, 2025. I call this meeting to order. Please rise for an invocation given by Commissioner Lucero, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Tony Hatz.
Heavenly Father, as we gather today, we ask for your guidance and wisdom in our discussions. Help us to listen to each other with open hearts and minds and to work together for the greater good. May our words be thoughtful and our actions be guided by your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, other commissioners. A roll call, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner Lucero?
Here.
Commissioner Hess?
Here.
Mr. Lopez?
Here. Approval of the agenda, Mr. Dornkamp. Do you have any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Lucero?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. I want to, the next set of, we have one, two, three, four, five, six sets of minutes. I like to do those by a consent item. If it's agreeable with the my fellow commissioners, do you have any discussion on those?
There was one small item. I believe we've taken care of that. So I would move to do that, to approve these by consent agenda, please.
Thank you, Commissioner. I have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Mr. Cyril?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. On section three, a reading of correspondence, Commissioner Committee reports. Commissioner Tony Hess, would you like to go first, sir?
Sure. On the 25th of February, the Colorado Department of Ag had a meeting of their Ag Behavioral Health Work Group. This was the first meeting tasked with identifying gaps and compiling best practices for providing behavioral health care to ag communities. Robert Sakata, who is the water policy advisor for the Colorado Department of Ag, has made this a priority project and will be taking the lead on this program. Mr. Sakata, along with six other Colorado Department of Ag board members, are committed to helping improve access to mental health and behavioral health resources in ag communities across the state. Here are some of the programs that are being offered. Since their inception, there's a group called the Coffee Break. It's a project in Rocky Ford, and it's for farmers and ranchers that participate. Also, there's the Farm Aid Hotline, Colorado Agriculture Addiction and Mental Health Program, 211 statewide commercial resource, and Farm Response with the AgriSafe Network. And there's many more. There's approximately 32 other entities that help with that effort. On the 26th of February, I got a call from Crystal Dryling, that the manager of the Fisher Peak State Park. The Fisher Peak master plan is moving forward now to include the equestrian trailhead and beyond. There were six of us individuals that met and are trying to figure out how we're going to move forward with the equestrian trails up there. It's been decided there'll be a court. About 100 miles of trails that are being considered. And of course, there was the strategic discussion on where, why, when, where those corrals will be available, if there'll be corrals available during hunting season and so forth. On the 27th of February, the Colorado Department of Early Childhood, Colorado Department of Human Health Services, and CCI hosted a joint meeting to assist families for needed the temporary assistance for needed families TANF allocation 101. Purpose of the call was to learn more about the allocation of funds for child welfare and the funding formulas and how they impact human services in our communities. We also discussed physical allocations and the funding pressures that come with this program. On March 4th through the 6th, on the EIF board and Environmental Impact Assistance Fund hearing was held, and 96 projects were reviewed dealing with water, wastewater, infrastructure stabilization, road and bridge, and more housing. Now, $32 million was what we had to allocate. $45.5 million was requested. So we had to trim that by approximately $13 million. And on the 7th of March, CCI had their legislative update. There was a plethora of bills that we'll be considering this Thursday and Friday. And that's my report, sir.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Lucero?
On the 20th of February, I attended a Veterans Roundtable at the Mark Carmel Wellness and Community Center with our current VSO and Mr. Ray Odom, who is with the state program now. Main primary reason for the meeting was to discuss access to veteran medical services. Currently, the New Mexico Veterans Office doesn't have a primary care provider, so they do all telehealth. And our local people are either you do the telehealth or you're going to end up going to either Lahana, I think, or Pueblo. The discussion was the possibility of being able to get services here in at the local area, but because New Mexico is their primary VA location, the chances of us getting a local provider for that is very slim due to the fact that with a lot of budget cuts coming on now. They were hoping at that time that during the round table they would get somebody from New Mexico VA center to come in so they can have some discussions with them, but nobody from New Mexico showed up to that meeting. So as of right now, most of our veterans, if they need to see a provider, they're having to go to either Lahana or Pueblo. I think that's about my report.
Thank you, Commissioners. Mine is going to be, I attended the National Association of Counties in Washington, D.C., as the representative of Colorado on their executive board. And on that very issue, we had an opportunity to visit with all the Colorado delegation to include Senator Bennett, all the representatives from Boulder and so on. And so I extended another special invitation to our representative, Jeff Hurd, and he mentioned that he was that he will be visiting Los Animas County in person, possibly in the month of March, as we welcome him. Let's remind them of all the challenges that we have here in Los Animas County and the opportunities that we have. Veterans is one of those things that we reminded the entire delegation to keep in mind and keep their benefits in place. So it was an amazing conference. I had an opportunity in 2020 to attend the same conference as President Trump was going out in this particular time with a change of new administration. There's a lot of movement in DC. We spent last Tuesday, in fact, a week today in Capitol Hill. And so going from one office from the Senate to the House, and what a great opportunity to lobby for the state of Colorado, for the services that we have here in Los Animas County, in a sense for nationwide. What I want to highlight just a couple of points on what Commissioner Tony Huss was talking about on the Joint Allocation Committee 101 that we had last week. The state of Colorado, when it comes to child welfare, TANF, CCAP, and all those allocations, is making an allocation of $2 million, but yet still falling short of the commitment to families in Colorado. As we know that Colorado is in a huge financial challenge right now, depending on who you ask, there could be between $700 and $1.4 billion deficit. And that's one of the challenges that the state is facing. Nonetheless, a lot of the commitments and promises that were made on our campaign trail a few years back are going to be falling short right now. So we need to continue to lobby and see what they can do. The JBC, the Joint Budget Committee, had a meeting, and they agreed to move some dollars for 2025-26 to some of these programs. That's not going to be enough. One of the challenges that counties are going to have is that we have the Big 11, the Big 12 counties in the state of Colorado that are beginning to freeze some of the services. The question both to the JBC and to the legislature is, can counties spend more than, of course, anytime we can, but this is not the time to go out and tax our constituents and ask for something that the state is responsible for. Just briefly, today is about the 63rd day of the General Assembly, and we're about two bills short of 500. We are going at a fast pace. The introduction, there are some, we like to select them in the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's a lot of ugly bills. One of the bills that I believe and I have not follow up is Senate Bill 25003. That is the rapid fire semi-automatic weapons that in fact is gonna be, to me, a huge infringement upon the Second Amendment. So I want to remind all the constituents to go out and if you get an opportunity to testify, please do so. The summary of this thing is that they are so partisan. The legislature right now is very partisan and that there is simply no appetite to work one side with the other. My opinion, no one else's. And so as we go through the process, my whole thing as Colorado counties come together is to continue to provide testimony and support and for those bills that we want them to make it across and also for the bills that we don't want making any noise with the specifically when it comes to violation of constitutional rights. Yesterday, I had an opportunity, by the way, fellow commissioners, thank you so much for appointing me to the SCED board. We had our first board meeting yesterday, and it was pretty intense. There was a lot of information. This meeting went on for a couple of hours, and the board that was there before, that was my first meeting ever at this one of these gatherings, is going to be, they're going to be meeting quarterly, but there is 13 counties within the Southern Colorado Economic Development Board. And what is going to be happening, they're going to be reaching out to counties to do a SWOT analysis of what are the needs, what opportunities we have, and what are some of the challenges that we have as counties. So we're going to need someone, volunteer someone to participate on the day-to-day working on the SWOT analysis, but we won't mention any names here today. I think at the end of the day, the county does have enough data and opportunity to go through the process, and let's see how that goes. The 13-county region is working on about a $13 million grant allocation, which is really good. They're doing fantastic work, and it is now with the boys. We had an opportunity to debate some of the bylaws and all the processes. So I, at the next meeting, I will invite my fellow commissioners to attend. You know, they're working in partnership with OEDIT, with the Office of Economic Development Administration. And what at the end of the day, what they're looking for every county to have is a comprehensive economic development strategic plan. So in order for us to apply for grants, apparently this is gonna be the new step that we need to that we need to move forward. The opportunity, again, I want to remind our constituents that all the bills of these 497 bills that we have listed, go to the Los Angeles County website, and you will see out of all these bills, close to half of them are impacting counties. And one of the things that we are reminded time and time again is we cannot afford any more unfunded mandates. We want to be part of the conversation. And then, of course, we want to have the control at the end of the day of what happens in our county. So, gentlemen, that's going to be my report. And so now let's move on to elected officials update. Ms. Amaro, good morning.
Well, good morning, commissioners. It's another fun time to be an assessor. I just wanted to kind of give you an update of what we are going through. We are almost wrapped up with our reval, so we will be sending out notices of valuation again in May for any valuation adjustments that we have to make due to the market. We are not seeing the market decline. We are seeing it hold steady. If not, we are also seeing some areas might have a slight decrease, but not as much as we saw in our last reval period where values went 50 to 80%. So I'm hoping we can minimize the protest and then minimize the protest to the board. What I am asking today is that if there are seniors out there that are 65 years of age, have owned and occupied their home for the previous 10 years, please come to my office and obtain a application for the senior exemption. Veterans, if you are a veteran that is 100% disabled or 100% unemployable, please come to our office and pick up an application. The governor or one of the governor's office sent out to everyone that lovely flyer about the tax issues that we are having and ways to defer your tax payments, things of that nature. So we've been getting quite a few phone calls, people walking in. So we've been educating ourselves as an assessor's office and educating the public. But currently, those are our two tax exemptions for the state, Colorado State Constitution, the senior exemption and the veterans.
So, Madam Assessor, and I want to also look to our finance director, by now breaking up those, the collection of property taxes, perhaps four times a year.
The four times two.
I mean, we're going to be deferring some of the revenue. Nonetheless, what challenges would counties face when doing business basically on that new recommended fashion?
It's going to be interesting to see how it works. I haven't heard from many of our smaller counties. I have heard from other large counties where they're asking that they would have to put on more FTEs. And maybe definitely there would be a change of computer programs. Somewhere somebody would have to, once again, we are a Tyler County. Tyler would have to be changing the treasurer side, like they are writing code for my side, the assessor side. So that would be a possibility. I am not against this bill at this moment. I think it would help our constituents, but I don't have a fiscal note or what it would look like impact to the county, because we have been a two-payment state for so long that all of our school districts, counties, cities, every entity is built on that two-payment system calendar. So there would definitely be some adjustments have to be worked in there. And I don't know if the sponsors of the bill have reached out to those different entities or to any school districts to get any information.
And that was my question, because the bond, some of the school districts have bond payments.
Yes, they do.
On this particular day, right now we have a two-tier flow of revenue.
Correct.
We're going to go to four, and I imagine it's going to be quarterly. Now,
that's what I assume.
There is going to be, I would imagine, they're going to have to go through the process and work with their bonding entities to now let them know we're going to be processing maybe three payments for.
Exactly. But
that's the interest that in the conversation that I know we have heard from CCI. And keep us posted on that.
I will definitely keep you posted. Once again, they said we would not see any tax bills coming through. I have three that are sitting in the wings. I have not seen them yet. We have defeated two that were very minimal to the assessor's office. So we were happy to testify against those and see those go down because we are still trying to implement quite a bit from last year's extraordinary special session laws, trying to get those built into our computer systems and handle that portion. So I'm really hoping legislatures have deemed that they've run us over enough and let us please get this implemented before we do something else. The next thing I wanted to talk about is pictometry. We will be getting ready to fly the eastern part of our county, hopefully in mid-March, end of March, depending on what the weather does. We know March and April tend to be some of our snowiest times, but as soon as they actually get me some dates, I will let the board know. But right now we are penciled in for mid-March, end of March for them to start flying the eastern half. So we will have updated imagery of our rural part of our county, which will be very helpful. And we're actually, they were able to give us at the same price, we're getting 3-inch imagery, which will be exceptional, exceptional. And I'd also like to say a shout out, I'll put my other hat on, to our 3 local high school teams that are headed to districts at the end of this week. Primero has made it on, the men's team, basketball team. Honey Girls, the women's team, has made it on, and the Kim men's team has made it on. So to have 3 school districts represented at the state level from our little county is something to be very proud of.
Well, thank you. That was a great shout out and well deserved to all those students.
Yes. And that is all I have at this time.
Any question for? I guess I had a question for maybe for Christy. If you go from a 2 on the Tyler system to collecting twice a year quarterly, is that a cost that the is that in the contract for Tyler, or is that going to be an added cost?
I think because that's Jody's, I'm not sure, that's Donna's Tyler.
That would be Donna's side.
Because I take payments all year long, but the bulk of it comes between January and June. So now it's going to be January through December, so to speak, they'll be taking payments for the whole entire year.
Yeah.
Because yes, the bulk of it comes between January and June.
And to answer your question, Commissioner Lucero, I just recently did this with my own Tyler contract. It is written in there now at this time that any legislative changes, Tyler has to absorb those costs. But I have a feeling when we renew contracts or we're going to see hidden fees, or they're going to have to recoup that cost somewhere, because in the last 3 years we have had an extensive amount of legislative changes,
yes,
that our computer programmers have had to pick up and implement. And it's getting costly, very costly to them, but it's going, eventually we are going to be paying.
And by way of information, I had an opportunity to meet with the national representative for Tyler. And when Assessor Amato was going through some of the challenges, I ran into him at the NACO conference. And so immediately they connected with Assessor Amato. And I think the conversation went on. And that's one of the things that they said. Legislative mandates for now are on us, on them, but eventually they're going to have to reassess, because especially Colorado, we are running at a rapid
we're changing
pace.
Legislation,
yep,
yearly, and it's costing someone. Eventually it's going to cost our taxpayers.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me go. I had a message from Sheriff Navarrete. Sheriff, good morning. How are you? Please unmute yourself, and I knew you had a couple of items to bring to the board.
Yes, Commissioner, I'll have a short session in the agenda for a revised copy of our medical contract that we did sign earlier. So that'll be in the agenda.
Thank you, sir.
On. But also, I did want to add to your concern about the Senate Bill 25003. So our county sheriffs of Colorado has been watching and monitoring that bill as well. They heavily oppose it. I do agree it is infringement upon Second Amendment rights. It will severely affect this office if it goes through. It'll require sheriff's offices to have to conduct background checks, issue permits for people to be able to purchase certain items, and then require them to attend training. So I don't agree with that whatsoever. But that's basically what I've been reading and what I've understood with what could happen with this. So we'll be watching that as well. And another issue real quick I'd like to bring up. We're trying to host a youth baseball camp in May in conjunction with the county sheriffs of Colorado. It'll be for 8 to 12-year-olds. So we're trying to promote that now. We have some flyers out, and it's through the sheriff's organization. So if we can get the word out for that, it'd be good for our community. I have some local baseball coaches that want to be involved from the college, and also other first responders will participate in this. So that's what we're working on at this point.
Thank you, sir. And yes, indeed, that was one of the CCI sent a recommendation going back to Senate Bill 3. The workload that we put on the local sheriff's offices. And then one of my biggest concerns is I have to ask the sheriff's office for permission to own a weapon, which is the Second Amendment clearly grants me that right by constitution. So totally 100% opposed to that. Second, one of the, I guess, unintended consequences or intended consequence would be that they're creating a registry of who owns what. And that to me, it is just an absurd idea. So Sheriff, keep on pushing back on that bill. From my perspective, I think it's a huge mandate, unfunded mandate. Right now, the fiscal note that's on the bill exceeds, it's in the millions of dollars. And that of course is gonna be handed down to sheriffs. And I think it's removing a lot of the ability for citizens to enjoy the Constitution.
I am in agreement with that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Let me call anything else.
No, that'll be it. Thank you.
We'll see you shortly here on the next agenda item. We have anyone from the clerk and recorder's office? Anyone from the treasurer's office? District attorney? And or coroner? Thank you. At this time, it is my great honor to call on, we have a presentation this morning by our Veterans Service Officer, Los Angeles County Veterans Service Officers. I had an opportunity to, as I attended the meetings in Washington, D.C., to speak on behalf of Colorado's veterans and anyone of an individual that serves this nation. So Mr. Matt Dominguez has brought to us an opportunity to recognize someone for the service, a Colorado State Trooper that went outside of the mandate and call of duty. And full disclosure, I wore that uniform some years back, and it gives me great honor to welcome you here, gentlemen. And what an awesome opportunity to have you, sir, and recognize the services. So, sir, welcome, good morning, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As set forth by Mr. Ray Odom, the former VSO, he used to like to present plaques to individuals who serve the veteran community and go above and beyond. The young trooper before us that's going to be recognized today reached out to me. It was on a weekend. It was a Saturday night, I believe it was. So I won't go into too much detail because
you work on Saturday nights.
I did in this case. But the trooper reached out and said that we had a veteran in need. We pulled resources from the Veterans Service Office. The trooper was working. We pulled the American Legion, and we utilized some of the grants that we use from the community. So if we can move forward with the letter, I have this plaque that we can present. And then if anybody would like to come up for pictures with us, with the commissioners afterwards, is that?
Thank you, sir. Mr. Dominguez asked me to read his letter. So Trooper, let me ask you, first of all, your name, Trooper Johnny Gauchin?
Gauchin.
Very good. In a world where going above and beyond is often overshadowed by the routine, it's vital to recognize those who make a significant difference in the lives of others. Johnny Gauchin, a dedicated member of the Colorado State Patrol, recently demonstrated such exceptional service when he stepped in to assist a veteran in need. On December 7, 2024, seemingly an ordinary day, remember those ordinary calls, nothing ordinary about anything, right? Trooper Johnny Gauchin encountered a veteran who required assistance. In the preceding days, the individual had contacted the veteran crisis hotline. Trooper Gauchin was informed that the individual had a history of suicidal ideations and was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. It was also reported that the service member threatened to harm the police officer who had arrested him in Texas, for which he was currently out on bail. Gaussin's timeless intervention demonstrated compassion and respect, reflecting his understanding of veterans' sacrifices. His response went beyond what was expected. He took the time to ensure the veteran was safe, comfortable, and had access to the necessary resources. The trooper offered a listening ear and coordinated further support. As a veteran himself, thank you for your service as well, sir. The trooper knows that there are those in his community up for the task at any time of any day. Gaussin exemplified the core values of integrity, service, and excellence. Actions like those of this trooper serve as a beacon of hope and humanity within the community. They remind us all of the importance of caring for one another and supporting those who have served our country. His extraordinary deeds have inspired many, highlighting the positive impact one individual can have. In acknowledging Trooper Johnny Gaussin, we celebrate not only his specific act of kindness, but also the broader spirit of service that he embodies. His dedication to duty and heartfelt compassion for the veteran in need deserve our deepest gratitude and recognition. Trooper Johnny Gaussin is an example of the difference one person can make when they choose to act with empathy and understanding. His actions are a testament to the values of the Colorado State Patrol and an inspiration to all of us. Sir, it is with great honor that on behalf of the Board of County Commissioners, we recognize the recognition that is given to you by our veteran service officer, Los Angeles County, a veteran himself, and Mr. Matthew Dominguez. So congratulations to you and thank you for your service.
Before we take the floor, this is one of those things that, you know, on the day of an elected official, very seldom we get an opportunity to do this, so thank you so much.
Congratulations, sir. Blessings to you, sir. I do want to say...
Please.
We need another picture with BSO officer.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah.
The two of you right there.
Thank you for the honor. But I do want to say that without Matt's help that night, I would have just been another person that wasn't going to be able to help. You guys didn't make the joke that, you know, he worked on a Saturday night. I know that was probably the most busy Saturday night that I could have called him. He had so much going on. I know that, you know, I think his daughter was in a speech and debate tournament that morning. He had a wrestling tournament the same day and a dance recital all on that Saturday. But he picked up the phone, came out. I don't think our burgers were even finished by the time, you know, he, you know, came out to help us out. So without his help that night, this wouldn't have happened. So I think he deserves just a round of applause just for helping out. I mean, he did just as much as I did that night. So we could have a round of applause for him.
Thank you, Trooper. Thank you so much, Captain and Sergeant. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for recognizing.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day. Well, we get to our regular agenda items now. Thank you, Mr. Dominguez. Thank you so much. We're going to go to, do we have any public comment individuals
not signed up,
but let me ask anyone online. Do we have anyone online that wishes to address this board and their public comment? All you need to do is raise your hand or unmute yourself. Hearing none, we're going to go to unfinished business. Mr. Dorenkamp, we laid an item on the table. Which one was that?
It's item 8A.
8A. Thank you, sir. At this time, commissioners, item 8A was laid on the table, so I will entertain a motion. Oh, I'm sorry. Please.
No, that was the fun one.
Okay, all right.
That was the fun one. So, no, I just want to take an opportunity to show you all what's been kind of going on over the past year since I've stepped into the BSO position. So I apologize because the data that I'm giving you doesn't reflect from the time that I started last March until now. The Colorado Department of Veteran Affairs had me keep track of stuff a little different when I first started. But as more veterans started coming into the office, I've had to set up Excel worksheets and or spreadsheets and keep track of things a little differently because so many new claims are coming in and asking for increases and stuff like that. So on the paperwork I'm about to give you, it shows the veterans rating when they first came in. It'll show if they got an increase, if they got back pay, what the new funds look like here. Have them there if they were homeless.
Oh, is that
they're deceased? Oh, did I give them 2 seconds?
Yeah, that's
sorry about that. The date that I could go back to, this one's from 2024. So this one was just kind of off the top of my head. Might be short. And this one's for 2025. The numbers for back pay and new funds aren't in the system yet because the claims are moving a little slow. So the beginning part of the year when I first took over, we had a lot of new claims and a lot of claim increases. This year I've had still a lot of new claims, a lot of disabled vet plates with those increases to disability ratings. Once the veteran hits 50% at a static rating, they now qualify for those disabled vet plates. So we're having a lot of those veterans coming in. Most of the veterans that I've seen have had some sort of increase in their rating. Some of it's been pretty drastic. Some of them I'm hoping to improve off of the little amounts that have came in. I think there's still room for increasement. It's just a matter of gathering evidence and medical documentation to help support those claims.
So it is the goal, is it your goal that as the rate increases, the benefits also?
So as the disability rate increases, the funding for that veteran goes up. Once they hit 70% more opportunities open up for them, they can now go to the veteran's home and it's paid for. When they hit the 100% mark, then they get the tax-free exemption. And some of those might not hit that permanent 100% mark, but we might be able to get them an unemployable status. So it's my goal to try to get the veteran as high as I can. provide them with as much increase financially as I can, as much medical benefits as I can. And then all the other stuff just kind of comes along with it, disabled vet plates. We've done a lot of burials, unfortunately, so been requests for headstones and honor guard services, which I didn't put on here, but I know that the American Legion stepped in and did some services when the branch of service wasn't able to get here in time. So my big thing this year, and hopefully I can set up a booth maybe during Santa Fe Trail Days or something, is to have the veterans record their DD-214s. So when the veteran passes away, that DD-214 is what the honor guard needs from their branch of service. We have 48 to 72 hours to notify them. If we can't get a DD-214 in that time frame, then they don't get that service. So if a veteran passes away or if they're requesting a DD-214 on a Friday, I might not get it until Wednesday or Thursday, because we have to request it through the National Archives. So if I can get those veterans into the office, record their stuff, it helps the family out in the long run.
You know, let me interrupt you there. This is a conversation that we need to have with the federal congressional delegation, 48 to 72 hours. When somebody passes away, especially on any family, the last thing you think of is that we have this document in place. Let's remind, and I'm going to keep you updated as to when a Representative Hurd is going to be here. That would be one easy, I would think, piece of legislation to open the window just a little bit, especially if you have a weekend, as you mentioned. If you have a weekend in between, you already lost 48 hours.
Right.
And that might be an opportunity that is lost, and the veteran deserve that, you know, those honors, the honorary service.
And I'm not sure, that might be something that the branches could adjust, because they're the ones sending out the burial detail. But I know that we've been fortunate that the American Legion has stepped in those cases where we couldn't get them here. And there hasn't, I think there might've been one,
okay,
maybe two, that we just couldn't get a DD-214 in time. But it hasn't been often.
Okay.
That's all I have for information. Hopefully this will look a little better in 6 months with a little bit more information, some more updates on funds. And it's kind of been a learning process as far as what information I need to put on there and whatnot, because we've had so many new veterans coming in. I spoke with Mr. Odom yesterday. I have 761 veterans logged into Vetrospect, which is our system that we use to send off claims. He believes that number's up about 100 veterans from when he had it. So within that year.
Well, good job.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I'm going to add, if you could, by column, if you can show the number of dollars for your own record that are coming into Los Angeles County veterans, that would be great, kind of the sum of all this, the benefits at the end of, at the bottom of each column, that would be.
Okay, so like a grand total on it?
Yeah, that would be great. That way you can actually say, look, we receive, Los Angeles County is drawing down this much for our veterans in our community, but we can actually do greater and so on. But I think this highlights your great work and advocacy.
Sir, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you. Well, thank you for keeping me honest. I jumped too quick to the next item. We're going to move now to Section 8, Unfinished Business. We, at the last meeting, we laid this item on the table. So at this time, I'm going to ask for a motion to remove this item from the table.
Move. Second.
Commissioner Cicero?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. And I want to, this was, we were in the middle of a great conversation in council. Actually, reminded us that this was not part of the agenda. So 8A, discussion and consideration of resolution 25015, appointing a Las Animas County representative and proxy to the South Central Council of Governments Executive Board. And we have a resolution with that, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Resolution of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, appointing representative of Los Angeles County to serve on the South Central Council of Governments Executive Board for calendar years 2025 through 2028. Resolution number 25-015. Whereas the South Central Council of Governments, print aka SC-COG, in print, was formed as an umbrella organization to assist entities of government in the bi-county area of Los Angeles and Huerfano counties in the delivery of services to the citizens of the respective governmental entities within the two counties. And whereas SCCOG is governed by the executive board comprised of one elected official from the governmental entities within the bi-county region, including Los Angeles County, City of Trinidad, Huerfano County, City of Wall Street, Town of Kim. And whereas the Board of County Commissioners decided to designate its representative and an alternate to serve on the Executive Board of South Central Council of Governments for calendar years 2025 through 2028 to provide direction, assistance, and decision-making process in the decision-making process and set policy for the delivery of various services to the local units of government within the bi-county region of Los Angeles and Huerfano counties. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one, the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County does hereby appoint Commissioner Felix M. Lopez as a representative, Robert A. Lucero, as the alternate to serve on the executive board, the South Central Council of Governments during the calendar years 2025 through 2028. On a motion made and second affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this 11th day of March 2025 by order of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature lines.
Thank you, Mr. Dorenkamp. Any discussion, commissioners? Hearing not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. We're going to go to section 9. 9A, consideration of IFB 25R003, gravel crushing at Sandoval Pit. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, we solicited bids to crush approximately 45,000 tons of gravel at our Sandoval Pit with the following results. Leone Sand and Gravel, $180,000. Colorado Crushing, $193,050. Mountain Valley Services, $360,000. Old Castle Southwest Group, $315,000. KLS LLC, $258,750. When the bids were submitted, Leone did not include their insurance for the bid documents. And within those bid documents, the Board of County Commissioners reserves the right on Article 1.8. The Board of County Commissioners reserves the right to waive any minor informality or irregularity in bids received, which the Board's opinion does not affect the general intent of the bid nor prejudice other bidders. Commissioners, historically, when other contractors have not included their insurance with their bid proposals, the Board has historically allowed for that contractor BS, make us some phone calls and tell them we need your insurance to go ahead and provide that insurance to us. So in my opinion, again, this is my opinion, not the board's opinion, but historically we've allowed this to happen. And in my opinion, it's a minor informality. So I'd ask the board, if you agree with my opinion, to award this contract to Leone Sand and Gravel for $180,000.
Thank you, Mr. Dorenkamp. Commissioners, any discussion on this item? Hearing no discussion, I would like to entertain a motion for item 9A.
I move that IFB 25-R003 gravel crushing at Sandoval Pit be approved.
Awarded to Leon Sand and Gravel?
Yes, sir.
In the amount of $180,000.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Excuse me, Commissioner Lopez.
Yes, sir. Thank you. 9B, consideration of Perry Stokes Bi-County health department permit. Mr. Gronkow.
Commissioner, before you for your consideration is Los Animas Fort County's health department PIT for our installation of a new septic system out at the airport. And I want to express a huge thank you to the health department for allowing the county to forego the permit fee, except for the $20 fee that apparently the state of Colorado charges the health department, so they pass that cost along to us, not only for this septic system, but also for the septic tie-in that will happen, hopefully grant monies pending, and we receive those out at the fairgrounds when we construct that new pavilion. So I'd ask the board to approve this permit and finish wrapping it up. And there's still correspondences going back and forth between the health department and our consultant, OWTS.
Well, thank you for there's a lot of information in here. And thank you for doing all the work and research. Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Doran Cap on this particular item? Hearing none.
Can I stand correct, Commissioner?
Yes.
Our consultant is Church On-Site Wastewater Consultants.
Yes, thank you. If we don't have any more discussion, I will entertain a motion on item 9B.
Move to approve Perry Stokes by County Health Department permit.
Second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hatch?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. 9C, consideration of retail liquor license renewal for Sam's Place. Madam Counsel.
Commissioners, I review the application is complete.
Thank you, ma'am. Commissioners, any questions on this particular item? There are none, I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve retail liquor license renewal application for Sam's Place.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. 9D, consideration of Pinnacle Jet Center's Perry Stokes bathroom renovation. Back to you, sir, Mr. Durenkamp.
Commissioner, before you, for your consideration is the renovation of our restrooms out at the Perry Stokes Airport within the terminal, submitted by Pinnacle Jet Center's Evan Otto. And per our contract, in order for him to make any types of improvements, he's got to get permission from the county to make those improvements. And this, these improvements to the bathrooms will be paid for by Pinnacle Jet. So I'd ask the board to approve these. So one, we're in compliance with ADA because currently our bathrooms are not. And that was one of the reasons we did the hazards mitigation last year, the year before, whenever it was, saw it and received a Brownfields grant to clean up the hazardous materials in order to make these types of improvements.
And I like the fact that there's going to be some showers also installed in there for any pilots that are coming in and out of there. So that, commissioners, any questions for Mr. Dornkamp on this item?
I guess I have one. Is the new bathroom system going to be tied into the new septic system?
It will eventually, yes.
So there is a septic system out there currently?
There is, yes.
Okay.
Any more discussion on this particular item? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve Pinnacle Jet Center's Perry Stokes bathroom renovation.
My second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, 9E, consideration of amended turnkey health contract. And I think this is where maybe Sheriff Navarrete may have some information for us.
Yes, Commissioner, this was brought to my attention through Turnkey Health earlier in February. We had signed a contract for our medical services with this company first part of the year, but when they reviewed some of the contracts, they noticed that some specific language regarding pharmacy costs was left out. So what we have in front of us is just a revised copy of the contracts, which need to be re-signed by myself and the board. And I did send this to Ms. Nelson for her review as well.
Madam Counsel?
I've reviewed. I have no legal concerns.
Thank you, ma'am. Commissioner Ross? I'm trying to find it here in the packet. Where is that?
It's on page, let's see. 173?
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Excuse me, Commissioner, starts on 170.
Yep. So in a sense, this is an amendment that will serve as a revision to the contract for the healthcare personnel and administration between Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office and TK Health. And as long as council has had the opportunity to review, from my perspective, I don't have any questions. Any additional information, Sheriff Navarrete?
I think this is just basically for our medical pharmacy costs for the inmates. I am in process of creating we have it in our policies that some of those costs can be reimbursed by the inmates for their own meds. So we're working on that to kind of offset that cost because in the contract, we are responsible for the pharmacy costs. So hopefully we can get a little bit back into the budget by doing that.
And Sheriff, I'm actually going to be connecting you with NACO Age Jail Detention Centers Nationwide Pharmaceuticals. They have a program. I had a visit with the NACO Edge. They just launched a program for pharmaceuticals, and one of the counties in Arizona saved like 30-40% on whatever pharmaceuticals they have to have through their jail facility. So I didn't understand exactly what we do here, but nonetheless, let me I'll send you the connection to them and see if there would be an opportunity to save some dollars being part of a national consortium.
Sure. Yeah, I could get that information to the turnkey representative. They do use a certain pharmacy. I can't remember the name of it, but I could bring it to their attention. Maybe there's some savings that can be found. Very.
And I guess...
I just wanted to inform that I did speak to Derek that we didn't budget for this additional cost. But he's going, that's where he's going to actually probably increase the cost to, you know, for the inmates. Hopefully that additional revenue will kind of cover this cost. Yeah. So, and we will continue to watch his budget.
From the previous cost to this.
We only budgeted what the contract says, the $201,000. And now this, the pharmaceutical is additional.
Okay.
So we didn't budget for that, for this cost.
Very good.
But I did speak to Derek about that. So, and that's why he's making some changes about maybe kind of having the inmates maybe cover some of the cost.
Very good. Sheriff, do you feel comfortable that financially you will be able to balance this line item?
Yes, I do. I think it can be balanced. And I know what the first invoice was fairly high, but that's they had to start up a new pharmacy after we got out of the contract with our former medical provider. So I'm going to monitor those costs with Ms. Coberly and make sure we stay in budget. But I don't see any concern at this point. They should be a lot lower moving forward, hopefully.
Thank you. And I think the question of this board is always going to be exactly what we just talked about. Do we have the money? So thank you, Sheriff. Commissioners, any questions for Sheriff Navarrete? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
I move to amend the turnkey help contract.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, sir. And thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
9F, consideration of Veteran Service Officer Matthew Dominguez. We have done that. Letter of citizen acknowledgement. That is Mr. Dorenkamp with the information that we had in the presentation that we had. The VSO will be signing the letter and forwarding it to the recipient. Do we need a vote on this?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Any discussion on this, commissioners? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the Veteran Service Officer Matthew Dominguez's letter of citizen acknowledgement.
Second.
Commissioner Sir?
Yes.
Commissioner Hatch?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. And 9G, consideration of resolution 25
2023-016, appointment to the South Central Transportation Planning Region Commission. Mr. Dornkamp, I believe we have a resolution.
Resolution of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado. Appointment to the South Central Transportation Planning Region Commission, resolution number 25-016. Whereas South Central Transportation Planning Region, SCTPR, Commission is a regional body responsible for transportation planning, coordination, and identifying priorities in the South Central region of Colorado. Whereas Los Angeles County recognizes the importance of active participation and regional transportation planning to ensure the development of a safe, efficient, and sustainable transportation system for its residents and businesses. Whereas the SCTPR Commission requires representation from member governmental entities to effectively carry out its duties and responsibilities. And whereas during the Board of County Commissioners February 4, 2025 meeting, Commissioner Felix Lopez was nominated and approved to serve as Los Angeles County's SCTPR Commission representative. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one, Commissioner Felix Lopez is hereby appointed to serve as a representative for Los Angeles County and the South Central Transportation Planning and Regional Commission Board. Two, Commissioner Felix Lopez shall serve in this capacity for a term through year 2028. On a motion made and second affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this 11th day of March 2025. The order of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature lines.
Thank you, Mr. Dornkamp. Commissioners, any discussion on this item? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve Resolution 25016, appointment to the South Central Transportation Planning Region Commission.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Serra?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. 9J, 9I, consideration of 1964 IHC title. There is some questions in here, commissioners. I believe
that sure you may have missed item H.
Oh, yes, thank you. 9H, consideration of resolution 25017, appointment to the Southeastern Colorado Opioid Region 19 Settlement Board.
We know you didn't want another board. That's why you're scared.
This is it's overflowing. Mr. Dornkamp, please read the resolution.
Resolution of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado. Appointment to the Southeastern Colorado Opioid Region 19 Settlement Board. Resolution number 2025-017. Whereas the Southeastern Colorado Opioid Region 19 Settlement Board, hereinafter referred to as SECOR, has been established to oversee the allocation and utilization of settlement funds received from opioid litigation for the purpose of addressing the opioid crisis within the region. Whereas Los Angeles County recognizes the devastating impact of the opioid crisis on its residents and is committed to actively participating in regional efforts to mitigate its effects. Whereas the SECOR requires representation from member entities to ensure the effective and responsible management of settlement funds. And whereas during the Board of County Commission January 21st, 2025 meeting, Commissioner Felix Lopez was nominated and approved to serve as Los Angeles County's SCCOR representative, Commissioner Tony Hass serving as the county's alternate. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, one, that Commissioner Felix Lopez is hereby appointed to serve as the representative of Los Angeles County and Southeastern Colorado Opioid Region 19 Settlement Board. Two, Commissioner Tony Hass is hereby appointed to serve as the alternate representative of Los Angeles County Southeastern Colorado Opioid Region 19 Settlement Board to act in the absence or incapacity of Commissioner Felix Lopez. Three, that Commissioners Felix Lopez and Tony Hass should serve in their capacity for a term consistent with the bylaws and regulations of Southeastern Colorado Opioid Region 19 Settlement Board or until a successor is duly appointed by the Board of County Commissioners. On a motion made and second, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this 11th day of March 2025, Board of County Commission, Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature lines.
Thank you. Any discussion on this? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve Resolution 25017, appointment to the Southeastern Colorado Opioid Region 19 Settlement Board.
Second.
Mr. Acero?
Yes.
Mr. Hass?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Commissioners. Now we'll go to our 9I, consideration of 1964 IHC title. I'm going to recommend that we lay this item on the table and have a conversation and move this item to executive session, Commissioners. This is, I think it would serve us well to go with our recommendation. If you all agree, I would entertain a motion to lay over the table and move that item to executive session, please.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Sell?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes, thank you. Consideration of Sourcewell contract number 011723 for the purchase of two motor graders. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, before you, for your consideration is the Sourcewell contract 011723 for the purchase of two motor graders in the Road and Bridge Department. And per our procurement policy, item I-4 state/governmental bid pricing for items common to governmental operations, which are bid by governmental entities to obtain beneficial pricing for local governments authorized by the BOCC. That's an exception to our typical procurement process. So I'd ask the board to approve this purchase of these two mortar graders for the Road and Bridge Department via that Sourcewell is a governmental agency in Minnesota.
And thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. You know, the conversation we also on at the NACO edge, more counties are joining on the procurement pre-approved vendors nationwide. We had a state of New York made a comment. They have bought millions and millions of dollars in equipment, and so they have the market as well through the purchasing authority that is as members of NACO might be worth looking into it from time to time. And then now the question is, you mentioned that the total amount that you budget is $500,000 and the cost is gonna be $669. We'll cover the balance from gravel purchase line item. Just extrapolate a tad on that.
Our gravel purchase, as the board approved the prior the only bid of 180,000. I think we had 400 and some thousand budget there. I can go back up there right quick. We had 490 budgeted. So we have a balance there that we will, if the board approves this purchase of these motor graders, we'll use those, that balance of some of that to pay for these graders.
Thank you.
So $169,550.
And then you still have some change left over after that.
And we'll spend a little of that change further if the board approves the guidance.
Any comments from Finance Director Cogley?
No comment.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Commissioners, any questions? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve Sourcewell contract 011723 for the purchase of two motor graders.
I second it.
Mr. Cicero?
Yes.
Mr. Hatch?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez.
Yes, thank you. 9K, consideration of procurement policy, which includes amendment Article P, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you, for your consideration, is our procurement policy that we added a Article P into that. I'll scroll down and read Article P. Rejection of bids. The Board of County Commissioners reserve the right and sole discretion to reject any and all bids, proposals, or submissions received. The county shall not be liable for any costs incurred by bidders in connection with their submission or proposals under this procurement process. And this was, I wanted to clarify within our procurement policy this verbiage, and there'll be more coming in the future. I'm glad this is a quote unquote living document because there's going to be some other adjustments that I'll be bringing in front of the board that I didn't include when I first drafted this that I think need to be cleaned up.
Thank you.
So I'd ask the board to approve the procurement policy.
Thank you, sir. Any discussion, commissioners? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve the procurement policy, which includes the amendment RFP.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Sell?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Thank you, sir. Yes. 9L, consideration of retail liquor license renewal application for Buckhorn Ridge Outfitter, LLC. Madam Counsel.
I reviewed the application is complete.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, got commissioners, any questions? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve retail liquor license renewal application for Buckhorn Ridge Outfitter LLC.
Second.
Mr. Sill?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. 9M, consideration of IFB 25R004 curved grader blades. Back to you, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner, before you for your considerations, IFB 25R004 curved grader blades. This would be for the Road and Bridge Department. It brought to my attention that we needed grader blades. And typically what we do is about every 3 years, we'll bid a semi-load blades to be delivered to the Road and Bridge shop at the fairgrounds, and then they're distributed out as the outlying shops need them. With the following results, wear parts, $54,273. Bulk manufacturing, $41,646. Wagner equipment, $37,615.50. J&S supply, $45,850. Four Rivers equipment, $48,597.50. I'd ask the board to approve. Excuse me, there's a second page. Top Dog Parts, $39,900. And Chi Monk Supply, $40,675.10. I'd ask the board to approve Wagner's bid of $37,650.15, or excuse me, 50 cents. We budgeted $25,000. The balance will be paid for out of that same line item mentioned a minute ago, the gravel purchase.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that, commissioners. Any questions for Mr. Dornkamp? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
I move that IFB 25R004 curb grader blades be approved to, was it, who'd you say?
Wagner equipment. For $37,615.50.
Second the motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Cerro?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. And we come to the funnest part of the meeting here today. All about the bottom line. So, financial matters, consideration of payroll and bills for the second half of February 2025. Finance Director Corbin.
Payroll as of February 28, 2025 is $215,282.08. Do you have any questions on payroll?
None for me, ma'am.
Let's see, invoices paid on February 19th. Was $153,593.53. The only thing I have in here is the election grant that Carrie got that we received $23,964.37. That one. Then let's see. Do you have any questions that I might have missed anything on that this packet?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. All right. I think the next one is our nonprofit.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me push page to that one.
And by the way, thank you so much to the whoever served on that nonprofit committee. Give them our sincere thanks for the work going through the applications, evaluation, and awards. And once again, as the voters of the Santa Cruz County approved that money to be enjoyed by nonprofits. Yeah. We want to thank them as well, but thank you for all the work that you all did.
Sure. Yeah. See, so this packet here was on February 20th for $120,000, what we budgeted for the nonprofits.
Yes.
And then April 1st is that work session. I'm thinking, I think we chose 12 of them to come and present before you.
Thank you.
I will make sure to send you all the packets and everything. So
why
you can
April
see
1st?
I think that's when the warming the workstation is. So that's when they're coming.
Yeah, I'm being facetious. Any questions for Finance Director Kovach? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve payroll and bills for the second half of February 2025.
Second.
Mr. Searle?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. We're going to go now into executive session. The board will meet under executive session, confirmed with under CRS 24-6424B, confirmed with the county attorney for the purposes of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions. A, title. B, county road. C, water line. D, table. E, House Bill 251040. F, solar. And Madam Counsel, I believe that item I, which is the consideration of 1964 IHC title, falls under that.
Commissioner, if I may?
Yes.
That is item A, the title?
Yeah.
Okay, excuse me.
Yes. The next item that we're going to be, the board is going to be meeting under CRS 246424E, determining positions relative to matters that may be subject to negotiations, developing strategies for negotiations, and instructing negotiators. Round table. At this time, commissioners, I will entertain a motion to suspend this Board of County Commissioners meeting and enter into executive session with a short recess.
I make a motion to go into executive session.
Second motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Searle?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you.
And apologies, Commissioner, I misunderstood.
No.
On the item I.
That's fine. Well, thank you, fellow commissioners. At this time, I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn executive session and resume the regular Board of County Commissioners.
I move to come out of executive session.
Second motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Searle?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Once again, thank you to all of you. I see no additional items on this agenda, so having resumed the regular Board of County Commissioners at 11:45 a.m., I will entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Lucero?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, Owen. I will see you here at 1.
Thank you. Tell who you are. I just noticed.
Oh.